My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the former dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He's been our guest many different times as the debate over the definition of marriage, both in various states and at the national level, have gone through the legislative and judicial process. And he joins us now in reaction to Friday's announcement from the Supreme Court that come April, it will in fact hear oral arguments essentially on the definition of marriage. And come June, the court may issue a sweeping ruling that defines it for the nation as a whole. It is taking up the ruling after some appeals courts in the Midwest actually decided to allow state constitutional laws defining marriage as only the union of one man and one woman to stand. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
What's your reaction to the Supreme Court taking this up and the court essentially deciding a fundamental issue such as the definition of marriage?
Well, certainly a mixed reaction. I'm glad that they did take it up on the one hand, and very concerned that they did take it up on the other hand. The court has made a mess of the issue of marriage. They should, in fact, have taken up the cases last October when they were up there, those cases that struck down the marriage laws in those respective states. They did not, and that allowed same-sex marriage to spread around the country. The case that is now before them that they did take up is from a federal court of appeals that upheld the marriage laws for two reasons. Number one, it said that the Supreme Court back in the 70s issued the Baker versus Nelson decision, in which the Supreme Court then dismissed the case for lack of a federal question, no constitutional issue here, because there's no constitutional right to same-sex marriage. And they also said that even the Supreme Court's decision in 2013 regarding the Federal Defense of Marriage Act said that states have the right to be able to define marriage, so the federal government should not interfere. So those are the issues now before the court. And the question is, will the court ultimately say, yes, these states that affirm the definition of marriage, that's fine, those can continue on? We don't know. On the other hand, if they ultimately somehow invented a so-called constitutional right to same-sex marriage, it could be the Roe versus Wade for same-sex marriage, and that would have a devastating impact.
What's your feeling based on the way this court has generally handled this issue and similar issues over time? Do you think their ruling will be limited to the circuit in which this ruling came down, or do you think it's likely to be a blanket for the whole nation?
Well, I really don't know, and that's why it's hard to determine. Certainly, Liberty Counsel will file a brief on this case, but back in 2013, the Supreme Court issued this decision called the Windsor decision regarding the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And in that case, they said specifically multiple times that it is the prerogative of the state to define marriage. And I believe that marriage predates the states, and it's only an affirmation of what is. But they said it was a state's rights issue, and the federal government should not interfere. And therefore, when the federal government had a definition of marriage as one man and one woman that interfered with New York's new definition of marriage as between people of the same sex, that was the federal government interfering into the state's rights, and therefore that was unconstitutional. Now, if they ultimately follow that same reasoning, then they would uphold this decision. Now, if they upheld the decision that therefore says states can affirm marriage as one man and one woman, what would happen? Well, I think what would happen is a firestorm in these other states that have overread the 2013 decision, because those courts overread the decision as saying there is a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. If the Supreme Court later this year says, no, there's not, states have a right to affirm marriage as one man and one woman, that means these other decisions went too far and went beyond what the Supreme Court had said, which I think they did. And therefore, there will be efforts to set aside those decisions, and or there will be efforts to repass marriage amendments in those states. So the battle will continue and heat up big time. However, the court also has a second question before this decision, and it is this. Can a state refuse to recognize another state's same-sex marriage? So if a state has voluntarily gone across that line, someone gets married there and they move to a state that doesn't recognize same-sex marriage, does that state have the obligation to recognize it? What the court may do there is say, yes, you do, or no, you don't. If they said, yes, you have to recognize it, it means that these people will go to other states and try to flood into a different state and recognize same-sex marriage in that state. So it's a very complicated issue. The Supreme Court has made a mess out of something that's very simple. And it's very simple because there is no constitutional right, never has been, and certainly can never even be construed to be, a right to same-sex marriage in the Constitution. They should have said that a long time ago, and we would have been done with this issue.
Matt, what's your best guess as to what the court's actions in the past several months? You said they should have taken it up in October. At that time, they let a bunch of appeals court rulings stand to overturn traditional marriage amendments and laws in various states. Now, when they're upheld, they take the case. Some are saying, well, that suggests that the court's already decided that it's going to go ahead and affirm same-sex marriage here. Is that the way to read it, or is it just a matter of conflicting appeals court's rulings and they have to sort this out?
Well, it's a matter of what you just said, conflicting appeals court's rulings, and they have to sort it out because now you've got a direct conflict. They have to get involved, and so that's what's happening. So I think that's why. On the other hand, you have clearly some people there, like Ginsburg and Kagan, that want to impose same-sex marriage across the country. So they would have other reasons to take up a case upholding marriage because they want to overturn it. We know that. We also know that they should be recused. Why? Because while they had the cases of same-sex marriage pending before the court last fall, in which they didn't take the cases, but while they were pending there, waiting for their decision whether they were going to take the case, Ginsburg and Kagan presided over same-sex marriages. They should be recused. They have actually injected themselves into the very issue that was then before the court and now before the court. So we believe they should be recused. The problem is it's very clear that they should. The statute says that they should. But if they don't, who's going to force them? There's no one above the Supreme Court to force a recusal. They are the final word in that respect. So consequently, they could choose not to recuse. But if they do, they will certainly undermine the confidence of the people in the court. And what may be on trial is not marriage, but what may be on trial is the validity and the legitimacy and the trustworthiness or lack thereof of this Supreme Court.
Matt, a couple issues before we let you go. You and I over the years, of course, have discussed many different legal and constitutional arguments in the back and forth over the definition of marriage. When this case goes to the Supreme Court for oral arguments, and of course, as the written material gets put together now, where should the focus be? What's the strongest constitutional argument for letting these bans stay in place?
Well, the strongest constitutional argument is obviously that there's no right to same-sex marriage in the Constitution. In fact, the Supreme Court said so in the Baker versus Nelson case in the 1970s. There's no federal constitutional right. It didn't just happen to jump into the Constitution from then till now. So, therefore, the federal government should not interfere with and override these state court decisions or affirmations or constitutional marriage amendments. I think that's clearly the most compelling. And then the other, of course, is states' rights. And then certainly the argument also is marriage is fundamental, and it is the very building block of our society. And for the Supreme Court to micromanage some kind of social issue of this magnitude is incomprehensible that they would inject themselves into this issue. And the consequences of it are significant, because what would ultimately happen is it would inject the Supreme Court into this area of the very fundamental foundation of our society. It would ultimately say, as a policy matter, children don't need moms and dads. And it would be even worse than the cases that they've done before in terms of judicial activism, because it would be inventing, clearly like they did in Roe versus Wade, something that just simply does not exist in the Constitution.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the former dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.